Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this edition, we visit with footballarchaeology.com's Timothy P. Brown, and we talk about a game that was affected by some severe rain, and a punting game prevailed. We have Tim coming up in just a moment to tell us all about this exciting game from yesteryear.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another edition where we get to visit with our friend Timothy P. Brown of FootballArchaeology.com. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Darren, good to see you again. Looking forward to having a little chat about football history.
Yeah, this is a really interesting and unique point in football history. I don't know if I've ever heard of this before until I was reading your tidbit recently, and you titled it, When It Rains, It Punts, 65 times. Now, tell us, somebody punted in a game, or two teams punted in a game 65 times? Is that, can that actually be?
Yes, and it's even worse than that. In another game, they punted 77 times.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is, I think a lot of times if people are kind of football history geeks, they're aware of the 1939 Texas Tech Centenary game. And that was played in Shreveport. So, you know, Centenary was the home team. And it was just, you know, I don't know if there was a hurricane that had come through or whatever, but it was raining. And just, you know, so you just think about it. It was raining a lot in Louisiana that weekend. And so they, you know, play their game on a Saturday afternoon. And it was just such a mess. I mean, back then teams punted a lot anyways, but it was just at the Centenary game. It's like a quagmire, just a muddy field. Just puddles of water, you know, a couple of inches of water standing on the field. And so these teams basically, they couldn't move the ball very well. You know, the balls were just like waterlogged. You certainly couldn't pass it. So they just resorted to pretty much punting on almost every down. You know, they get the ball and they just turn around and punt it, just hoping that the other team was going to fumble it, you know. And there were a lot of fumbles in the game, but, you know, so they were basically playing this field position thing. And so in the Texas Tech Centenary game, they literally punted 77 times in the game. So that was the all-time record. There were 12 NCAA records set in that game, the record for most punts, most punt yardage, most punt returns, most punt return yardage, and then like individual records for most punts, most punt returns, most punt, you know, yardage, yada, yada, yada. And so actually this game also holds the NCAA record for most records set in the game. So so it's just one of those really bizarre games, and it ends in a 0-0 tie. So I'd been aware of this game for some time. And then one way or another, while researching something else, I come across a game that was played the same day and 2 hours north by interstate today. Now, there weren't interstates then, but, you know, so somewhere not that far north. And it was a game between Wachita Baptist and Arkansas Teachers College, which is now Central Arkansas. And so, like, you know, like the Centenary Texas Tech game. It was tied 0-0 at half. You know, same kind of thing. They're punting all the time. So then 6 minutes into the third quarter, Wachita punts for the 46th time, or between the two teams. You know, they executed the 46th punt of the game, and it goes out of bounds at the 6-yard line of Arkansas Teachers. So what does Arkansas Teachers do? They say, okay, we're going to punt. So on first down, they try to punt, but the ball's blocked, or the punt is blocked, rolls into the end zone, and the punter falls on it for a safety. And then, you know, so now it's 2-0. And basically the rest of the game, it's the same stuff. It's one punt after another, or nearly so. And so, you know, they ended up, this in that game, they ended up 65 times they punted from scrimmage. There was also the punt following the safety. So, you know, they really had 66 punts in the game. So, but at least, you know, the game ended in a 2-0 score. So at least they did all that. They punted all those times. And at least they came out with a winner. Whereas the other game was a tie game. So it's like, yeah, nothing even happened, right? So anyway, it's just absolutely crazy to think about, you know, in the days before effective drainage systems on a lot of these fields, and you get enough water and there's just not a whole lot we can do.
Yeah. Okay. Now I've got a question. All right. Now I understand the concept of punting, the rules, you know, were somewhat different back even before this, why teams punted when they got in trouble deep in their own end. But in an era where you're not throwing a forward pass as much as we do today, and we know, you know, like the old saying is, there's only three things that can happen when you throw a pass, and, you know, two of them are bad. Well, snapping a punt, which is, you know, a long backwards pass, somebody going between their legs to something they're not really seeing real well, they're snapping, somebody standing back there, that seems like that's a pretty dangerous operation. And why would you do that so much often on a muddy field? I understand if you're deep in your own territory, yeah. Wouldn't it be safer to try to run and maybe get some yardage and punt on fourth down?
Yeah. And I suspect that they weren't long snapping the way we do today, you know? So, you know, back then, a lot of times, even, you know, a lot of times teams punted in much more of a quick kick kind of style. So they might snap back to the tailback in a wing, you know, a single wing formation. And, you know, just the nature of it was that people had such trouble. The players had so much trouble getting footing that they couldn't, you know, typically they weren't able to rush the punter very effectively. Now, you know, obviously they did once in the game because they blocked that punt, you know, and it ended up, you know, in a safety. But there weren't a bunch of punt blocks, you know, despite all the punts. So, and, you know, just like you see it every once in a while with kids in like youth football. If you don't have a decent long snapper, you know, what people used to do, and even before really long snapping developed, they'd snap the ball to the quarterback and then he'd lateral it back to the punter or to the fullback at the time. So, you know, they may have had to resort to that too, but yeah, I mean, they just were having so much trouble moving the ball at all, you know, run, you know, they were more scared of fumbling the ball, mishandling it, fumbling it in their own backfield. So they were just trying to get any kind of field position they could, because they'd punt the thing and it would just plop and stay there. It's not like it rolled, just wherever it landed, it pretty much stayed there.
I can imagine. Wow. That is something. And I guess that's something to really think about, you know, 77 times you had a couple really tired punters. I'm sure they had to soak their legs in ice or something that evening after the game. Wow. Well, Tim, great stuff as always. And, you know, we really appreciate these tidbits that you do each and every evening. Maybe you could share with the folks where they can enjoy your tidbits. So they're getting the action every single night at 7.
Yeah. You go to footballarchaeology.com. You can subscribe there and if you subscribe, you get an email in your inbox every night at 7 o'clock Eastern. And then, you know, read them at your leisure. Or you can follow me on Twitter, on Threads, or on the Substack app. So, but basically the way Twitter's working nowadays, at least for me, you know, even if you follow me on Twitter, you're probably not going to see it. So, so if you want to see this stuff, you're better off subscribing.
All right. Well, Tim Brown, we thank you very much for sharing with us again. And we will talk to you again next Tuesday about another great historical football attribute.
Very good. Look forward to it. Thanks, Tara.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, it's found right here on the Sports History Network.